Back in Munich, we found people living in our house. After we'd been deported in 1943, it had been handed over to some Nazis. Mom said to them, "That's our house." But they said it was theirs. "It doesn't belong to you anymore. It was given to us." Mom went to the authorities and inquired, but they said, "There's nothing you can do." So we slept over in Uncle Edward's stable. After about 8 weeks, my father came back from the military. He'd been wounded 3 times, a bullet in the lung and 2 others through thigh and shoulder. He was laid up in bed at home for 2 years. But he went over to our house with his sticks. He had no crutches. Not that there were no crutches, only not for him. Supporting himself on his sticks, he smashed a ground floor window and yelled, "Get the hell out of here, now!" An hour later, the house was empty. I was already 13 then and had to go back to school. I was real timid, tall, thin, and spineless. If third graders knocked into me, I apologized to them. I was so scared, even of children. The concentration camp had affected me so adversely that if someone gave me a screwball look, I began crying. And people kept hitting me. When I got home, I'd say, "Mom, I got into another fight." But it wasn't true. I let people hit me. "Filthy gypsy, they should send you all back to the camp." That was the kind of thing they said. It terrified me. Then one day, a boy called Bieler, he was the strongest boy in the school, came and kicked me from behind. I didn't say a thing, just kept straight on. Hans Graf stopped and said, "Just you hit him back." So I screwed up my courage and struck back. I really thrashed him. Then I was made class captain. I had outgrown myself. I'd already wanted to take communion in third grade. The priest had given me something to wear, a kind of blue suit with Marine written on it. I laid it aside carefully. Then the Gestapo came and took us away. In 1947, I was going on for 14, I saw children celebrating communion. I went to the priest again and said, "Father, I'd like to take First Communion." "You may," he said. "Come to me twice a week and we can prepare you for it together." So that's what I did. The famous day finally came. Early that morning, I got up and dressed. The priest had lent me another blue suit. It also had Marine written on the back with a little ribbon over it. I walked to St. Martin's Church wearing the suit. It was raining. I remember hoping the suit wouldn't get wet. I entered the church. It was full. Everyone was looking at me, thinking, "Who's that coming in? Head and shoulders above all the other kids." I had to walk through them all. "Just go ahead and stare," I thought. "I don't mind. I just want to take First Communion." I sat down at the front and looked for my priest, but it was somebody else. "Who are you?" he said. "And why only now?" "I'm Höllenreiner," I said. "I was in concentration camp." He asked me a couple of things that had nothing to do with communion. I knew everything about that, and I didn't know the answers. "Do you know what?" he said. "We'll take First Communion next year." I thought to myself, here I am, and everyone's staring at me, and next year I'll be even taller. So I said to him, "Please, Father, let me take communion. Do me a favor, please." "No," he said. So I got up, walked out through the church again. Everyone made way for me. The parents and brothers and sisters of the other children. was pouring outside. There's a song that goes, "When it's raining, tears are invisible." Did I cry on my way home